money. Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger! They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce fall away at the horn. It's gone!
Morris, Ball, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three.
Hey everybody, you're listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Noah Getzel. I've been covering the Wizards for Wizards Extra for the past four seasons, and Locked On Wizards for the past month. Locked On Wizards is a daily podcast offering you five podcasts a week every Monday through Friday with news and insight on the Wizards. We do interviews with players and coaches, not just with the Wizards, but also other teams around the league. And tonight, our guest works for a different team, the Milwaukee Bucks. He hails from the D.C. area, though. We both grew up in Bethesda, Maryland. Didn't know him at all in high school, but we met in college and graduated from University of Wisconsin 5 years ago. He's been working for the Milwaukee Bucks just about ever since that. His name is Danny Meltzer, and Danny just came back tonight from this awesome event with the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was doing like a meet and greet with some of the season ticket holders and did a Q&A. And I was wondering, Danny, you just had the chance to spend some time with Kareem. Do you know his birth name?
I believe it's Lew Alcindor.
Very close. Everyone knows him as Lew Alcindor. But his official like birth name was Ferdinand Lewis Alcindor Jr.
Wow.
Ferdinand. Nobody, I don't think he would have been an NBA player if he went by Ferdinand.
I think it'd be great nowadays.
Perhaps. So tonight we'll be talking about a couple of different topics. We're going to preview the Wizards and Bucks matchup. Then we're going to talk about how both teams have kind of just been stuck in limbo the past, I don't know, 15 or so years. They kind of make it to the playoffs and fizzle out and don't go anywhere. Free agents don't want to go to Milwaukee or Washington. And they're just kind of mediocre NBA teams that don't go too far. And finally, we're going to talk about this awesome solution that Danny has for the one-and-done system of college basketball players. There's been a lot of talk on that recently and a lot of criticism overall of NCAA. So we're going to hop right into it with the Wizards-Bucks recap. Both teams played last night. The Bucks suffered a tough overtime loss to... Drew Holiday popped off for like 36 points and 9 rebounds, and the Pelicans, yeah, they dropped the Bucks in overtime there. Was that game overtime, or was it the game the previous night? Okay.
Both went to overtime, mm-hmm. Won one, lost one.
And then,
like you said,
the Wizards beat the Sixers. It was pretty handedly, actually, in Washington, and then they'll be traveling to Milwaukee, who has beaten the Wizards the past two games with Giannis just absolutely dominating everything and showing why he's an MVP candidate for, once again, a kind of mediocre team. So what do you think will be the key to this game? And obviously both teams are playing really tough tests coming up. The Wizards, the night after they travel to Milwaukee, they've got the Warriors at home, then the Raptors, the Pacers, the Spurs, the Pistons, the Denver Nuggets, who are in 8th place, another playoff team on the West Coast.
And great offense. So, Bucks, similar position, a lot of big games coming up.
Right.
Wizards, back-to-back in Detroit, Indiana, Philly Sunday night, then at Indiana, then Houston next Wednesday. So that's
Murder
six
row,
important
no
games
doubt.
In a row. So like you said, what's the important distinguishing factor tomorrow night? It's the same factor for all matchups with the Bucks. And it's Giannis. We'll take this opportunity, induct you to the Giannis Greek Freak fan club. The soft G pronunciation of Giannis, almost with a Y sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, and he's honestly one of the best players in the world at this point. It's pretty clear that he's already a top five talent, only getting better. And any game you play with the Bucks, it comes down to him. If he goes off, gets some support, we win every time. If you hold him to a reasonable game, which nowadays is 25 points, you know, 20 to 25 points, then, you know, other people have to step up.
Well, their last matchup, it was Eric Bledsoe, actually, who proved to be one of the big difference makers for the Bucks. He went 8 of 15. He shot well. He had 23 points. And I can't remember exactly, but it seemed like at least half of those came in the fourth quarter. So he was really, you know, he didn't start off well, but he started just, like, draining jumpers. He picked up a bunch of he had four steals that game, too. And, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, you're not a one-man show. You need Chris Middleton or Jabari, who's back in action for the past month, to step up. And Jabari actually played pretty well against the Pelicans last night. He had 18 points, which was his season high,
season
right?
High.
Yeah.
Yeah, 24 minutes, season high. A lot of impressive low post points. Getting back to the point, for those Wizards fans, you know, myself included, growing up in the area, lifelong Wizards fan there. For those missing John Wall in the last couple weeks and for the next couple weeks, Bledsoe is as close to a NBA type John Wall, I think, that we have. Mm-hmm. Both in good and in things that are important. You know, you name jumpers, a couple threes there, shot over 50%. Just like with John Wall, when that jumper's falling, there's nothing you can do. They're getting to the rim or you're playing off and you're going to have jumpers. But he's going to take those jumpers. And, you know, you can talk about some of the differences with the Wizards, with and without John Wall. But it's just those mid-range twos or long threes, early in the shot clock, guarded. You know, when those are falling, they're all-stars. When they're not, it's frustrating, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest determining factor for this game is just going to come down to the Wizards' defense, which was impeccable against the Sixers last night on Sunday. I think the Wizards shot like 54%, but then they held the Sixers to 36% and 27% from downtown. And the Wizards defense has been like all over the place this season, but it's been pretty consistent the past 12 games without John Wall. They've been, you know, 9-3. And even though the game before last game against the Hornets, they let up 122 points because the Hornets always tear them apart all season for some reason. The Wizards' defense has looked a little bit more consistent. Do you think John Wall has kind of, does he get a pass because he's been injured this year? Or do you think he totally dictates the Wizards' defense, but do you think it's kind of been like when he's not trying, like the Wizards just suck defensively?
So I'll be the first one to say it. It's crazy to think that the Wizards are a better team, will be a better team, better for next year without John Wall. At the end of the day, number one thing with John Wall is he has to be healthy. And let's assume that when he decides to come back, he is healthy. And for now, that'll be taken care of. The biggest difference with the Wizards, from a stat standpoint that I've seen watching a couple of the games without John Wall, is offensively it's the passing. I think it's an extra 30-something passes per game. That translates to an open shooter. We saw it last night. Otto Porter went off. Kelly Oubre hitting threes.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of Wizards fans, myself included, were worried when Wall went out, you know, who was going to step up. And Bradley Beal's stats have certainly inflated, but I think it's key that everyone's stats have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just picked up the pieces at what has been a more efficient rate. So,
and
absolutely get John Wall back, first and foremost. That's number one.
Beal, surprisingly, is shooting fewer shots and scoring just either the same amount or maybe even a bit less, but his assist numbers are through the roof. I think the games that Wall's been missing, yeah, he's averaging like 6.8 assists, and over the course of the season, he averages maybe 4.
Perfect. So that's like a big difference. Another example of, you know, maybe he's scoring a few less points, but if there's 3 to 4 more assists, we'll take those extra 5-6 points from him. And then obviously, the new point guard is chipping in with his, you know, 10, 15, and 5 to 8 assists as well. So between him and Sato, they've got a real good backcourt right now that is just playing more efficiently than John Wall when he was hurt.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what's your prediction Tuesday night?
I'm going to go Bucks win. They always are very up and down.
Just because fighting,
they don't have long ones. I know the Wizards don't lose games back-to-back as well, but thankfully, the Wizards coming off a win, Bucks coming off a loss, at home, good crowd tomorrow, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. I think Giannis has a big game. 30-plus, and the Bucks pull it out. But close, and definitely both teams are going to have a chance to win the game in the final minutes.
Yeah. Giannis has just been on a tear, as you mentioned, against the Wizards this season. It's been getting uglier and uglier if you're a Wizards fan. So he had 23 in the first matchup, and then 34 back in January when the Wizards hosted the Bucks. 34 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, a block, you know, one of those typical Giannis games. And then the last time they played, he had a 20-20 game with 2 blocks as well. So 27 points, 20 boards, 6 assists.
I mean, if you allow me to get on my soapbox just for a minute, of course. I don't know how much people in D.C. or just general NBA fans get to watch Giannis on TV a lot more nationally this year, but tomorrow's the first time or one of the first times this year that you've watched a full game. Two things to point out. Guy's going to average right around 30 points a game, and a lot of those are going to come from the paint. Mm-hmm. Why that's important is that just clogs people up to come help. It opens room for shooters. So when you're just frustrated seeing someone get an open shot from the three, watch it, because it's probably Giannis who drew that attention. The second thing I would say is watch is the little things in the game that he does unbelievably. Everyone likes the big blocks, but just watch the deflections, positioning, just the aggressiveness. I honestly can't imagine a more fun player to watch in the league. Getting to watch him every night for the past 4 years is an honest privilege, but I would start to view him going from, you know, just one of the best players in the league to, you know, pushing for that best title here in the next couple of seasons.
He's almost as exciting to watch as Kelly Oubre, almost. Maybe
Kelly
someday he'll get to that level.
More overt swag. Giannis is more of like a rage, is my favorite Giannis. He's angry Giannis.
It's because he takes after Kobe. He's going to work out with him for the summer. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's going for. But you got a Kelly Oubre fan 100% here. So that is going to be a great matchup to watch. Oubre and Giannis, the future.
So Danny and I are going to be right back with the Locked On Wizards podcast. We're going to take a real quick break. After the break, we'll be talking about how the two franchises are battling for positioning to get that home court advantage here in the postseason, but it kind of seems a little bit futile in the East given that LeBron is still there, and even like, you know, the past 15, 18, whatever, how many years, neither team has really been able to get over the hump. So we'll talk about why both squads, Wizards and Bucks, are kind of just stuck in the mud in the playoff picture and not really competing for championships. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Locked On Wizards podcast. All right, guys, welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. I'm your host, Noah Getzel. You can find me on Twitter, by the way, at Noah_Getzel. That's NOAH_GOETZEL. And I had mostly have had success with asking my guests to share their Twitter information until my brother was on the podcast on Sunday and totally refused to have anyone follow him. Danny, would you be cool with sharing where you're at on Twitter?
I'll do one better. I don't use Twitter. You know, you're probably the first person to ask for my opinions openly in my entire life. So I just follow people on Twitter, like through other websites. It sounds really lame, but it's the honest truth. There just isn't one to give out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no worries. So anyways, this is Danny Meltzer, who works with the Milwaukee Bucks, providing some insight. We just talked about a Wizards-Bucks preview, and now we're going to talk about kind of where each franchise stands and what their future trajectories will be.
Big questions.
Yeah. And so when you look at the playoff picture, it's incredibly tight from third seed to seventh seed right now. So the Wizards are currently at fourth. They're a half game behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then the Bucks are at sixth at the moment. And they are just 1.5 games behind the Wizards. The Sixers are right behind them, half game behind the Bucks too. So it's really jam-packed in the middle of the playoffs. Where do you think the Bucks are going to finish in a seeding rate? And what seed do you think they'll end up with going into the playoffs? I know you mentioned a lot of people in Wisconsin are kind of like how they get on board with Badger football, and they're like, oh yeah, championship this year, BCF playoff, no doubt. And then that game against Ohio State happens, and everyone's sure. Like, oh, I thought we were better.
Let's not go there right now.
Yeah. But nobody really cares about the Bucks in Wisconsin, from what I saw living there for 5 years. It's all about Packers and then Badgers and Brewers, and then the Bucks are like the forgotten stepchild.
Yeah, so same background as Noah. I grew up in the D.C. area. went to school in Wisconsin. This is like 09 to 13. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, there's a little bit. Bucks and six, Brant Jennings, that first year when they lost to the Hawks in that close first-round series. But people in Madison, it wasn't on TV during games. You didn't see a lot of Bucks gear. Biggest change goes right along with when Noah graduated. New ownership came in 14. It's completely changed everything. You guys seen new logos, new branding, and you asked me the star. That's the on-court stuff. It's been a whole statewide outreach. New arena coming next year. That's what Hightower tells, helping fill that new arena. That's going to be a huge stepping stone. You mentioned, you know, traditionally Milwaukee not a free agent destination. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, you're correct, but with the new arena, new practice facility, completely basically a new downtown that the Bucks are building, I think it is going to become an interesting destination. And the number one reason is because of Giannis. This league draws stars to those other stars through free agency and demanding trades.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Cleveland is in no better place than Milwaukee. I like Milwaukee more. And because of LeBron, you know, you have people wanting to go play there. So at the end of the day, Milwaukee, you're right, from our time, it's just such a different Bucks team than from when you were here in the state. And over the next couple of years, it's only going to jump tenfold with the new arena and just having one of the best players. And global superstar, I think, is the biggest thing with Giannis, is his global appeal to all around the world. So that's kind of the changes. So I get it. The national perception has stayed. I mean, until they win, it won't change.
So there are a couple of local companies who are looking to buy the naming rights. Which do you think would be the coolest sounding arena if it was owned by, like, Miller Brewing or Harley-Davidson, Johnson Controls?
Honestly, I have no clue where it will end up.
Mm-hmm.
I know definitely that's a big announcement on the horizon to get naming rights. I always was partial to the idea of, like, going pushing heavy into, like, the beer aspect of it with the Brew City, but
right.
I mean, we've heard some people say it looks like a beer barrel, kind of has, like, you know, the zinc metal look on the outside, but I'm just excited for people to see the arena. We're literally going from one of the oldest, outdated, non-renovated arenas in all of sports, all of American professional sports, to the best arena in all of sports, just like that.
No doubt. It's going to be tight. So, can I ask a really random question about the Bucks franchise in general? So they're called, they're the Bucks, and like the catchphrase is fear the deer. But are you really scared of deer if like people in Wisconsin go hunting for them? I don't totally understand.
Sure.
Wizards make no sense whatsoever in Washington. Like obviously they just change because you can't be bullets in this climate of the 90s. But I don't really get the Bucks.
Bucks voted on. I believe the historical story goes Robbins actually won the fan vote, but the owner decided to go with Bucks because he thought it sounded better. I think it's cool because we're the only ones. Logos are awesome. We have some of the best jerseys in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if we're wearing the Cream Cities tomorrow, but for the city jerseys, you know, one of the best, hands down. I like the name, Fear the Deer. I mean, the buck is coming with all those horns. It's way bigger than you. Definitely going to run you over, but no, you gotta go with the marketing. It's too good of a rhyme to pass up.
I think my favorite Bucks jerseys were back when like Ray Allen was with the team, and there was, I think there were like purple and green, and then they had like the giant deer with the antlers on the front of the jersey. Those were pretty dope.
Yeah, 90s purple and like teal were the new colors that they discovered eventually. But yeah, nowadays there you go. It's completely different, and I think through Giannis and the team getting back to the playoffs, getting over the hump. You know, Wizard fans, we talked about it, kind of complaining about not being able to get to the conference finals. I'll just remind people the Bucks haven't won a playoff series since 2001 when they lost to the conference finals in 7 to Philly and Iverson. So the Bucks have been stuck in mediocrity, kind of that oblivious, nowhere place, you know, missing the playoffs, making the playoffs as like an 8-7 seed. The one pick being Andrew Bogut, who, in terms of one picks, is definitely...
he's better than Kwame Brown.
Sure, 100%. Kwame Brown at least turned into, like, Ron Butler. Bogut.
True.
You know, so at the end of the day, similar paths in terms of what the teams are currently at. I'll be the first to say I probably think the Wizards, based on their experience winning playoff series, would be a favorite if we met in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, players win series, and the best player generally wins a series in basketball. So I think the Bucks are definitely in position, the expectation to win their first round series, really, regardless of who we play.
Yeah, the Bucks. It's crazy because when you look at the Eastern Conference, like, who knows what the Cavs will become, but definitely the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Sixers just have incredibly bright futures. I can't believe that Giannis is only 23, and he's, you know, him and Beal are both in their fifth years, but it's just ridiculous to think how good he is and how young.
You're right.
It's mind-blowing.
I mean, Bucks core-wise, you've got Chris Middleton, who probably should have made the All-Star game right around making the All-Star game. You'll see tomorrow he's going to take a lot of mid-range jumpers here at first. The guy shoots him at an unbelievable clip. Like, it looks like Kobe just in a Bucks jersey doing mid-range jumpers. And probably people think, how did that go in? But that's just what he does. Bledsoe, you touched on. Jabari's back, which is huge for us. He's going to score a variety of ways. Malcolm Brogdon, played at UVA. He'll be back in a couple weeks once he comes back for injury. Mm-hmm. So they've got a really solid core.
And the length.
Match up against anyone.
The length is crazy. All of the deflections that you mentioned, like the last time the Wizards played the Bucks forced 23 turnovers.
You got it. That's 100% where the strength of this team lies. And as they just play more together and get more experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, the sky's kind of the limit with the Bucks, just in terms of Giannis carrying all these great guys, being supplemental pieces to a once-in-a-generational town.
Mm-hmm. We talked about where the Bucks have been and how, like, the new buzz and new ownership and new arena are kind of going to put them on the map, especially with having Giannis as the superstar that everybody wants to play with. What do you think is – I don't know how much time you have, but what's wrong with the Wizards franchise in terms of, like, throughout my – fanhood of the team since the late 90s and the Jordan era, they just have never been run successfully, it seems, in terms of, you know, like, they might get to a playoffs, they might win a series. Now, like, the expectation is Eastern Conference Finals or bust after, you know, pushing Boston to seven games. But why when you look at the Wizards, like, why are they such a middle of the pack team that's, you know, just gonna not get to the, they're not going to grow that homegrown talent the same way that the Warriors have.
So what do you want, the simple answer or the long answer?
Simple.
Simple answer, DC curse. There's no arguing it. DC curse is real. Lifelong Caps fan here. Nationals, you know, going to games their first year. It's like, just a DC curse. But long answer, LeBron James is the number one factor in the East. You want to go back, honestly, since 2007, you want to go back the last 11, 12 postseasons.
Mm-hmm.
And if he stays in the East, he will be a factor for more years to come. You know, honestly, the team probably should have made the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Right. Too many of those blown first quarters.
Before Game 7, even. So he should have been wrapped up before Game 7. We'll talk about the difference between last year's team and this year's team is the depth. You know, Kelly Oubre barely played in the playoffs at the end against the Celtics. Brooks had no confidence in him.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Jennings was getting minutes, which is horrifying. last year, he was recovering from a torn Achilles that he's finally hopefully healthy from. So this year's Wizards team, I mean, who in the East do you honestly look at in a seven-game series, home court advantage or not, that you're just automatically just being like, I don't expect or think we can win this?
Well, when you look at a coaching perspective, Brad Stevens is just so much more sharper than Scott Brooks, whose final plays are, okay, we're going to give it to our best player, whether it's back on the OKC days, you know, Russ Westbrook versus Durant versus now Wall and Beal, and just expect them to go iso ball, and doesn't really run a play in those clutch situations. So that's an issue once you get to the postseason. But no, like, honestly, as much as I criticize, the Wizards have lost a ton of stupid games against awful opponents. That's not going to happen in the playoffs. But then again, against the Celtics, you know, and the Hawks, they were dropping, like, the first two games against the Celtics, they were up huge in the first quarters. And they had giant, you know, like, 17-point, I don't know exactly, but it was, like, over 10-point leads in the first half and then just collapsed. So I think the Wizards definitely have the talent to push any team in the East to, you know, seven games and win the series, maybe not the Cavaliers once you get to that 0 Dark 30 23 LeBron. What does he call his social media cleanse when he's in the playoffs? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But he's a different animal. No doubt about it.
Using that movie to describe your mood, I guess, is great. And you're right. LeBron James, like we said, is the number one factor in the East now and potentially moving forward for a couple more years. And
by the way,
no one's been able to get him out of the Eastern Conference Finals in, what has it been, 7 straight years. So. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ferdinand Luis Alcindor went to 19 All-Star games. Do you think LeBron could possibly tie or surpass that? He also has 6 championships, though, so I don't think LeBron is touching that one.
What is LeBron at in All-Star games?
I would have to give me here just like tap dance for 1 second. Let me find it.
No doubt in my mind he'll be playing at least 3 more years. I don't know. It's up to LeBron. Like, I don't think any of us envision a LeBron that isn't very good on a basketball court. I'm sure 40-year-old LeBron, barring injury, would be.
He's got
a lot of players.
Okay, so LeBron is, what, 33? Yeah, he just turned 33 at the end of December. He's been to 14.
15? Yep.
He's been to 14 All-Star games.
So he missed his rookie year, probably?
Great. I would think
14
so.
Straight? Yeah, if LeBron wants to play 5 more years, he'll make 5 more All-Star games. Yeah. And not even talking about some Tracy McGrady getting voted in injury, Yao Ming stuff like.
Yeah, based on the fact that LeBron is still really high up in the MVP discussion, he's definitely not going anywhere anytime soon, and it's ridiculous that he's never had a major injury in his career. And he's 33 now. We'll see how long this goes for him, but we started this podcast to talk about the Wizards-Bucks preview. I think we just about exhausted that topic, so we are going to stop the podcast there. And continue hold the rest of it for part 2 of this, which I'll be posting on Tuesday. So thanks so much, Danny, for your time. We're going to get the rest of the talk with Danny Metzer on topics of the G League and kind of fixing the one-and-done system in NCAA, given all the FBI investigations going on now. We'll be posting all that on Tuesday. So take care. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast, which, by the way, you can check out on iTunes, Stitcher, subscribe on Spotify, go to LockedOnWizards.com, and you can always find us on Twitter as well, and SoundCloud, for that matter. So that's all we got. We'll be continuing with part 2 with Danny Meltzer. Thank you, Danny, and we'll see you guys Tuesday for the Wizards and Bucks recap. Let's stick up the world and split it 50-50. Let's take the dough and stay real jiggy. Let's sip the Chris and get pissy. Flow infinitely like the memory of my nigga Biggie. Baby, you know it's hell when I come through. The life and times of Sean Carter, nigga, volume 2. Y'all niggas be ready. Locked down in a 10x4, controlling the house.